Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime or whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just a reminder, this is an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And this is round two of this these episodes this week that we're doing. And I'd like to introduce my co-host who's helping me do those, Austin. Hello.
Hello, co-host.
Last time we did these two episodes, it was just you and me.
We're not explaining what happened.
Well, I was going to get into that once I introduced our special guest for this week. Hi, Christina.
Hello, I'm back.
Hi, we're so glad to have you back.
Yes, glad to be back and alive, so that's always good.
For much better episodes than that Diglett Village shit.
Exactly, I love these episodes.
Don't slam Diglett Village, I love those episodes. You know, ironically, I was listening back to our Legend of Thunder episode that went live over the weekend, and we do, in the end of that, say we probably would have a special guest star, depending on Jacob's availability. So just a little recap, Austin and I did record these episodes last week.
Just you and I.
Yeah, just Austin and I, because Jacob wasn't available after all. And Christina wasn't feeling very well. We can touch on that when we talk about our weeks, but it was just you and me. And turns out Austin had a little bit of a technological curse, and we lost our episode. So we actually, it worked out, though, because we were able to bring Christina on like we originally planned.
Yay!
So here she is.
For my episode that I really wanted. At least one of them.
Yes!
All according to Keikaku.
Absolutely according to Keikaku. And Christina, yeah, Austin had mentioned that you really love the Ninetales, and you guys had had that kind of in the works for several months.
Actually, I think going back like 2 years ago, so.
To like the beginning of this.
He's like, okay, it's going to be a few years, but you know, you'll get on there.
It actually was serendipity almost, because turns out that you're able to join us for our second go-around, so
yeah.
It really worked out as best as it possibly could. So yeah, what have you guys been up to this past week?
Before that, sorry, I don't want to take over.
Oh yeah,
go ahead. We need to mention that we no longer have a third co-host.
Okay, yeah, all right.
That's pretty important, I would say.
Okay, yeah, just to clarify, Jacob has gone on an indefinite hiatus, not necessarily gone permanently from the podcast, but he decided that he has a lot of responsibilities that he needs to attend to during this part of his life, which we completely understand. So it's just going to be Austin and I, and potentially a third circulating co-host, Christina, of course, joining us.
Glad to be here. Yes.
For whatever episode she wants to join us with. And we'll see. We'll see who else wants to jump on, depending on availability and stuff going forward. So that is how the podcast is looking at the moment.
And now more than ever, if you want to spend $20, you can be our guest co-host for one episode.
Absolutely. Check out our Patreon. That's one of the perks of our highest tiered subscriber. You can select one episode of your choice to join us on, and we would love to chat with you. That would be really exciting. We already had Tristan, a very loyal subscriber of ours, join us for episodes, so that was really super fun. We enjoyed it. So yeah, check that out and consider it. But yeah, so thanks, Austin. Thanks for reining me in. I got excited to talk about our weeks.
We've left Jacob in the past. He's just completely forgotten.
Jacob's in the rear view. No, we completely understand. He's a new dad, and there's a lot that comes with that. So he understandably had to prioritize some things. So that's what he's doing. And we hope to have him back, but we're not quite sure when that'll be. So in the meantime, this is our new format. So any other announcements before we talk about our weeks and shift gears a little bit?
Oh, real quick. One thing we forgot to do last week. Alex, you and I need to come up with a 5-star rating for Legend of Thunder.
Letterboxd. Okay, so we have, you may be better at describing this. We have a Letterboxd, which I guess we rank all of our thoughts on all the episodes we've watched so far. So we have to decide right here and now on
yes,
how
we do. Yes, we do. We don't have a choice.
Wait, Christina, have you ever seen Legend of Thunder?
No, I have not. So I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, that's all right. You're not missing. Well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that.
No, you're not missing much. So we're going to go for a low rating.
No, I need to be our hype person. That's my role, remember? I got to hype it. So it's so good, Christina.
God, you lie like a politician, Alex.
Listen to our episode, though, Legend of Thunder, because that was fun, and we like talking about Pokemon. We love Pokemon, and we do this out of love. That's what we do.
I'm looking now. We gave Mewtwo Returns 2 stars.
Oh, my goodness.
So what do we give this?
What was our reasoning? I can't remember.
Jacob hated it.
Jacob, he brought our average down.
I know, but he's not here today, so we're not influenced by him.
Oh, we don't have his bias. Okay, out of 5, 3?
I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Can I? No, I want to change. 2.5. 2.5.
Okay, so 2. Got it.
2. Okay, that's fine.
Yay, a 2-star.
But we have to give our reasoning why.
It was boring as shit.
I think it suffered from a lot of nothing, like them standing around. Because I remember talking about them just standing around during like all the battle sequences, and it was pretty boring.
There was a lot of standing at the same place for a long period of time.
Yeah, although Attila and Hun were fun. I liked our discussion about them. Jimmy Marina's hair game was crazy. I love Eugene, so that automatically gives it another star for me. That's why I'm at 2.5.
And I'm at 1.5 because I didn't like it. So we averaged out to 2.
We got to see Raikou, which we were complaining about because Suicune and Entei are always center stage. And we were like, oh, Raikou needs some moment to shine. But that's what it got, sadly. 2 stars. 2 stars. That's fair. Listeners, tell us what you thought about Legend of Thunder. If you liked it or not, let us know. Send us an email or let us know on Twitter or something.
I will say Raikou is pretty cool. I think I did catch him in one of the games I played.
Is that your favorite, Christina, of all the 3? Suicune, Entei, Raikou? Who's your favorite?
Entei, because I love the Entei movie.
Ah!
Yeah.
I will forever love Entei.
I feel like that inspired so many people. I mean, when you have like a banger movie like that with a Pokemon that's like front and center, it's hard not to automatically like it more than the others. Purely aesthetically, Suicune's the best, I think.
I also have like a really good memory towards it. Like, so my dad took me to a doctor's appointment that day, and then like I was supposed to go back to school, but he's like, "Do you want to go watch the Pokemon movie?" And I was like,
"Hey,
yeah." So I did school and watched the Entei movie, which was amazing.
Shout out to Christina's dad for encouraging playing hooky to watch Pokemon. Fucking love that.
Shout out to David.
Yes, he understands the importance of being a nerd.
Oh yes, he does.
That's awesome. What else has been going on? Christina, we're glad you're feeling better.
Yes, so I had COVID, as I lovingly refer to as the plague. I felt like I was going to die for a few days. Got to the point where like NyQuil and DayQuil were not even helping. But I was telling them before we started recording that I did watch Evangelion, like at least half the season, while under NyQuil. So 10 out of 10 would recommend, because it's a lot better when you're doing that.
Oh man, you need
high
to watch
on cold medicine.
Yes.
You need to watch the second half with the NyQuil.
I know.
And see how that goes.
Austin, that's... Oh, boy.
No encouragement to do this recreationally. Only when you're sick.
No, no,
but
no.
It's really fun.
Sounds like a fun week, COVID notwithstanding.
Do you have Amazon Prime, Christina?
I do, actually.
I think the new movies are all on there.
Ooh, because... Yeah, I know you have the DVDs, but I have to get them for
you. Right, well, of course I do.
And I don't even have the DVD player anymore, so... But yeah, I'll have to watch them sometime.
Oh, well, again, glad you're feeling better, Christina. I know that's absolute hell to go through. I'm simultaneously shocked and not shocked you got it so far out, like 4 years later, but...
I know, right? A whole pandemic, don't get it. Even my husband had it at one point, and I'm living with him, like, and I didn't get it.
And you didn't get it. Dang.
Other than that, it's my busy season at work, so I've been doing that. And then, other than that, managing life, man. It's busy.
Did you get your AC fixed, by the way?
I had to buy a new... Oh, I did have to buy a new AC, so that is fun adulting.
Oh, no.
The good thing is, like, the company we bought it for, like, they do a payment plan, but, like, with the payment plan, pretty much, like, everything is covered. So if something breaks on it, like, I don't pay a cent, so...
Okay.
Fingers crossed it doesn't break, but...
Yeah.
I hate to put this, like, bad vibe out there, but I feel like with any major purchase... It works perfect up until the warranty ends.
I know. So it's supposed to last, like, 5 years. So I'm like, all right, like, hopefully it'll, like, be good for past that. But yeah, and it's kind of funny because, like, I normally like the heat. Like, I normally am okay with it. But
Boo.
I know. Like, I'm a summer girl for some reason, but I hate being cold. Like, I literally have, like, a little heater right now on me because I hate being cold. But I was so miserable, like, that week without it. Like, I felt like I was going to die. And then it made me appreciate the cold, to be honest, so.
I imagine. Having no air conditioning at all. Like, my power went out here the other day. Actually, well, that's something I don't think we've mentioned on the podcast before, right, Austin? And then power went out and I came over to your place because I had no air conditioning. Okay. And I was dying.
And we watched Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, we watched Pokemon. Horizons, the new iteration. But I just want to commiserate with you, Christine, on that because even having the power knocked out for like an hour and a half, like, it got so hot in this apartment. I was like, I have to get out of here. I can't stand another second of it. It was so hot.
Was your whole complex, did like the whole go down?
The craziest thing is in my entire complex, my building was the only building that the power was out.
Wow.
All the other buildings surrounding me had the power except for mine. I still don't know why, what happened. I think my suspicion is like a squirrel chewed through something. But it didn't come back on until like 5:30 in the morning. I didn't stay at Austin's until 5:30. I came back and just like, you know, sucked it up or whatever. But it was so bad.
The universe just wanted to smite you, didn't they?
It did. I called off work the next day because I'm like, I stayed up until 5:30. I was miserable. I was like, I can't. I feel sick. I can't even like focus today. So I completely understand. Having no AC is just a misery. So
now we know just to go to Austin's whenever our AC is out.
I offered you, Christina, to come to my place.
Yeah.
You did not take me up on it.
I think I had to work though. My work is like forever away from your job. Oh, okay. So from your place.
Austin, he's the designated refuge area.
What can I say? I have the power.
Yes.
So, sounds like an exciting week for you, Christina. What about you, Austin?
I've really had nothing going on whatsoever.
Nothing.
But I still have something to talk about, because okay. In the previous episode we recorded that got deleted.
Boo.
Alex and I, and Alex's boyfriend Josh, friend of the pod, went to Pokemon Trivia.
Oh, that was when we talked about that. Oh, gosh, I completely forgot. Yeah, give us the recap on how that went.
Well, I'm going to say that we tied for fourth, we tied with three other groups for first place.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And then we had the tiebreaker, and we got second through the tiebreaker.
Yay! Congratulations, out of the drying pan, representing.
You guys do know your stuff.
I just want to hype us up a little bit, because the bar/restaurant that we went to that hosted the trivia, there was a ton of people there, and most of the groups were pretty large groups. Remind me, Austin, I think the group that we ended up facing off with, they had six people. Okay.
We had three people.
Well, Josh is, he's a friend of the pod, but not a Pokemon aficionado.
Friend of Pokemon.
He doesn't know Pokemon trivia. So he was there for moral support.
We should have invited Christina. Why did we not do that?
I know.
Next time for sure, because we ended up getting, you'll have to come with us next time for sure, because we ended up getting house cash, so we still have that to burn.
Ooh, yes, let's go. I want to go.
That'll get food for one person.
Yeah, I know.
Basically will.
That food is hella expensive there.
Oh, yeah.
It's so expensive, you guys. Like, for me and Josh, it was like over $60, and we just ordered an entree and a drink each. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Josh and I both got drinks, and I ordered a shot, and it was the biggest shot I've ever seen in my entire damn life.
That was a double. That wasn't a shot. That was a double.
Well, at least you got your money's worth. I always like it when they do that.
I was feeling a little loopy.
Did you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
then Josh downed his entire drink in solidarity with me.
That's one thing I've honestly missed since being sick, is like having a drink, because I'm like, I'm not going to mix alcohol and NyQuil. I'm not trying to
run. No, you should not do that.
I just want a good old-fashioned like mixed drink right now. It sounds really nice.
Well, we should go to the bar and do some trivia and not win.
We should.
Well, this was our comeback. Austin had his, what was it that you described in the first time we recorded this? Your chamber what? And chamber and. Oh,
I also got second place in X-Men. Yes.
Explain that. Chamber and whatever. What was the other thing?
I remember the questions I got wrong every time I do one of these.
So, Austin, we got second again, which I'm very proud of us. We did really well, considering nobody recognized out of the drying pan, so.
Yeah, Alex was like, what if someone recognizes us? Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine? That would be fantastic. Yeah, we did well, and it was a lot of fun. So, I would definitely go back. We'll have to see if they do another Pokemon theme trivia some other time. What else, Austin? Anything else?
What'd you do, Alex?
I'm trying to remember. Our recording schedule has been weird this past week, so I'm kind of struggling to remember like what I've already mentioned or not. I've been in full Dragon Age mode because we got more information this past week, so I'm super excited. New game coming out on Halloween. Woo, spooky. If you guys are not Dragon Age fans, I implore you to check it out. It's the best video game franchise ever, in my opinion. But yeah, super excited. Waited 10 years for a sequel, and here we are. I can't believe it's happening. So that's consuming all my time, to be honest, because I'm a big nerd.
Oh, did you guys see the new Deadpool movie?
Oh, we did.
Yes,
we did.
It was really good. I loved it. That was what I also did before I was sick, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was great. We enjoyed it. Austin said it wasn't his favorite Deadpool movie, though.
It was not.
It's mine.
I like it for the humor. I wouldn't say the plot was super interesting, but the humor was really funny in the side comments.
So I can't talk about spoilers. Never mind.
Yeah, no spoilers.
It's still new.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was it, really.
Well, we did hear some bad news.
Yeah, I think we just wanted to take a moment. We got the really sad news that Rachel Lillis passed away. You all know her, obviously, as the voice of the OG Jesse and Misty. So we definitely want to extend our heartfelt sympathies to her friends and family and just express how awesome that her work was in Pokemon. And we really appreciated all the role she brought to Pokemon, and she'll be greatly missed.
I'm definitely going to be paying attention to her, to Misty and Jesse for a little while, yeah. Watching these episodes, you know, it's kind of hard not to.
Yeah.
She's super talented, definitely a massive talent. So yeah, definitely a huge, huge loss. All right, you guys. Well, if that's everything, I think we can wrap up our weeks. For me and Austin, this is the second go-around for do's and don'ts and just waiting on a friend.
Christina already volunteered to do the 30-second summary.
She's good at those.
And then Alex is going to do do's and don'ts, and I'll do just waiting on a friend.
Okay. And just a disclaimer for everyone out there, I know it's the first time you're hearing us talk about this, but I haven't watched these episodes in like 2 weeks, so I'm going to try my best to remember. I'm just purely basing all my knowledge on this, on my notes, so this will be fun. Are we ready to jump in? Do's and don'ts.
Christina, are you ready?
Yes, I think so.
For a 30-second summary of the Team Rocket episode.
Yes, just the highlights. I got this.
Just the highlights.
I can do this.
You can do it.
3, 2, 1. Go.
Okay, we meet Team Rocket. They end up seeing this Delibird. They try to catch it because they want to improve their team. The Delibird is actually Team Rocket recruiter's Pokemon. Long story short, they find out that they are trying to get recruited back into Team Rocket. Their membership expired, so they have to go through this test with Delibird. They pass the test, but then the recruiter's like, oh, by the way, you owe all this money. Here, the Delibird's gonna help you collect. And
time. All right, you got it. You got it.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was awesome. I remember you were kind of like hard on yourself last time doing 30 seconds, but this time you came with your A game.
I was like, I'm just gonna think of like a few points of each episode.
Wow, you nailed it. That's way better than we normally do.
Thank you. I tried.
Alex, like, doesn't do it efficiently, and then she's like, I want to do it again. And I'm like, no, Alex, we're not going to do it again. Let's move forward.
Austin's mean to me. This is a complete recording. We could completely have control over doing it again, but he won't let me do it.
I'm not going to lie. I wanted to redo mine, too, but I'm like, you know, I guess that's part of the fun, so.
Okay, well, Christina, I like you, so we're going to do it again. Now, get ready.
Oh,
in three.
No, okay. No. I was like, I liked mine, this one. I meant the first time.
Okay.
You can't top that. Oh, my gosh. Okay, wait, did you say I'm doing this one again, Austin?
Yes.
Okay, so this one was a little funny. Like, the opening was weird, in my opinion, because did you get this feeling too, Christina? Like, you go from seeing the twerps, they're like watching some kind of sunrise or something, and then all of a sudden they've like been teleported onto like a football field or in the middle of like a big field.
Yes, I thought it was very like interesting, considering this is like a Japanese show, obviously. So yeah. Like, what do they know? Like, but I know nothing about football, really. So I was at a loss, but I also...
I know.
It was about my level of understanding, really, actually, because of touchdown. I'm like, I know that word.
Exactly. Yeah, I know some highlight, like some buzzwords that are surrounding football, which I think Austin and I actually made this exact point when we did this the first time. We were like, it'd be great if Jacob was here because he's the football guy.
I know.
And when I say football, or when we say football, we mean American football.
Yeah, not soccer.
Soccer seems a little bit easier to understand, to be honest. I'm like you, Christina. I don't know anything about football, but that's the theme of this moment right now. Team Rocket's dressed as linebackers. They try to blow up the Twerps with a football bomb. But it doesn't go very well. So they end up blasting off again after a game of hot potato. So they blast off into the woods. And this is this whole episode, to be honest, is a Team Rocket focused episode. We barely see Ash and Missy and Brock, which I don't know about you, but I kind of love these episodes.
Yeah, I think it's a nice refresher of like, instead of just focusing on the three, because like they do deserve their own stuff, like their own antics. They're kind of funny. So they're like lighthearted, you know?
I agree. It's definitely a change up from what we normally get, which I guess is kind of in the same vein as like the Pokemon Get Lost in the Woods episodes where it's just like the Pokemon or whatever, or something different. So this major focus today is on Team Rocket. So they blast off into the woods and they start blaming each other, of course, for all their failures. They're very cognizant of the fact that they cannot seem, no matter what they do, to best the Twerps in anything. They are just never successful when it comes to them. So they have this meeting, and it's pretty funny. They go back and forth trying to determine like their weakest link and vote them off the island. And in the end, they all vote for each other. They're all the problem. So James makes a good point, though. He's like, well, it's our lack of numbers, really, that keeps us from being successful. Because if you think about it, like, we only have a few Pokemon between us, but the Twerps have this whole entourage. They have a whole squad of Pokemon. So of course they have more options. And they get into a big dust-up as far as taking out their frustrations. So they end up moving on. But before they get really very far, they come across a cage made out of light beams with a megaphone on the top.
Yeah, like a speaker megaphone kind of thing.
How does this work? The physics of this. I don't think it could actually be possible. It's a cage with a megaphone, and it's like a laser beam cage, and a mysterious voice comes across the megaphone and claims that this is just a random wild deli bird, and that the person who caught this caught so many of them, they're just leaving them around in the woods for randos to just catch.
Right. I'd be like, okay, this is not the safari.
Yeah, this is a trap. I would be like, my first immediate thought would be like, this is a scam. This is a trap. Something is wrong here. But Team Rocket isn't fazed by this. They're like, you know what? This is perfect. Free Pokemon? This is just what we need after we just determined that we need more additions to our team. This is perfect. So the megaphone cage dissipates. They try to catch it, but are easily overwhelmed by this very powerful Delibird, it seems. But Wobbuffet saves the day. Wobbuffet's like a monster. Counter takes out anything. What are your thoughts on Wobbuffet, Christina? Like,
it's funny because I always think of it like kind of like the dum-dum of the group, but like when he he's useful. Like, he can be useful. So
it's interesting.
He's cute. I think he's like the comedic relief in some way sometimes.
Absolutely. I think he's a good balance to Team Rocket. And honestly, it's interesting. And I'm not a metagamer. Like, I don't play competitively or anything, but like from a game perspective, like, I think it's really interesting to have a purely defensive Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, he can't attack per se unless he uses Mirror Coat or Counter, which is purely defensive. But I imagine there's some people out there that really know how to use him effectively.
Right.
I'm not one of those people.
I'm usually like an offensive player when I do play. Like, I go for the ones that have the strongest attack, so I'm not good with those.
I know. I never learned much beyond like, I can't help but think back to Red and Blue days, like being a little kid playing Pokemon for the first time and just getting Charizard or something and then just teaching it like Flamethrower and just like spamming Flamethrower over and over again.
My basic understanding is like, you know, fire and water, earth and... Yeah. Like, I know those things. Other than that, nah.
It's, you know, and that was one of the things. It's like with every subsequent Pokemon game, I feel like it gets more and more. Maybe this is just because I'm getting old. It's probably because I'm old. But I understand less and less, I feel like. Like, it's too complicated now.
Exactly. That's why I can never play, like, Magic or anything like that. Like, there's too many rules.
Oh, gosh. No, I cannot play any, like, tabletop games. I'm so bad at it. Like, Were you there too that one time we were at Austin's house when we played the Disney villain game?
Oh yeah, when Adam was trying to get us to play.
I think after this, like, we spent more time trying to set up that game, and at the end of it, like, we barely even played like one round before we were all like bored as hell because we're like, this is too complicated.
Yes, it was.
Everyone was just so done.
It's very hard. Some of these board games, I swear, are like, it reminds me of the Parks and Rec, like the Cones of Dunsher or whatever he called his game.
Yes, I love that game. Well, I've never played it, but yeah, it reminds me of that.
But anyway, I got us off track. So yeah, we're fighting the Deli Bird. They're overpowered. After Wobbuffet steps in, they do manage to knock it out, but they were fighting. They took too long to fight over who was going to catch it, but they're interrupted regardless because this old lady's like, psych, it's my Pokemon all along. And she actually introduces herself as the owner of this Deli Bird and also a talent scout for Team Rocket. Unsuspecting old lady.
How ironic.
She gives Team Rocket some shit about their outfits. She's very incredulous that they're actually part of Team Rocket with their non-regulation outfits.
Which I think is the first time they've ever even pointed that out.
Is it? Is it the first time they've ever actually made a note of it? Because I thought we had episodes before where we mentioned their costumes, but maybe it was Team Rocket themselves.
I think it's the first time Team Rocket themselves ever said, yeah, we made our own outfits because we're more fashionable than regular Team Rocket people.
I have always wondered why they were, like, in white costume versus, like, and when you see the other ones, they're in, like, the black, the grunt type costumes.
They cut against the grain. They don't want to wear the boring black outfits, which, to be honest with you, I think the white outfits look better. That's my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel.
Like, I can't imagine, well, I can't imagine them without the white outfits, but the white outfits are so iconic.
Yeah.
You can't imagine them any other way because it's just how it's always been. We do, I know, I think when we talked about this before, Austin, we did mention some other times where they've appeared in different clothes.
Looking at you, black and white.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah, black and white when that happens. I don't think it works for them. I think they look way better in their white outfits. And apparently this lady, who I think the first time we determined we were going to call her Scout, because she doesn't have a name.
Yeah, Mary to Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, she's Scout. I'll refer to her from now on. So she's apparently seen many, people roaming the countryside who claim to be Team Rocket grunts. I guess there's a lot of Team Rocket cosplayers in Johto.
We've never seen them.
Maybe we're not looking in the right place. I don't know.
We must not be.
Apparently this happens all the time. So she's like, show me your membership cards. But turns out, like Christina mentioned in the summary, they're expired. And they have been for quite some time. So technically, they aren't actually Team Rocket members at this point. We find out that Team Rocket actually has a pretty robust organizational structure. They have membership dues. They have a 401k and health insurance and all that stuff. I wonder if Team Rocket's a publicly traded company.
Oh, they definitely, they are. They say they are. They say they have stock options.
Oh my god.
Their little card reminded me of like the Costco card.
I wonder if they have a Team Rocket warehouse where they shop.
Probably.
But yeah, so they have to pay back in, but they owe such an exorbitant amount of money in debt because, as we know, they're constantly racking up the bill with their purchases from Popular Pokemon Magazine and all the other crazy contraptions they come up with. I guess it begs the question of how their company card was still active, because I'm assuming they're putting it on the Team Rocket credit card.
I'm pretty sure at one point they had Giovanni's credit card itself. Like, they had...
like his Amex Black card or something?
Yeah, I did.
We cut over to Team Rocket headquarters, because apparently they have a headquarters, and a very nice campus somewhere in the mountains of Johto.
Not the one that Mewtwo blew up. It's a different one.
Yeah, because there's many, remember? They're all over the place. But we meet Wendy, and she's the Team Rocket HR representative.
And she has the personality of an HR representative.
Yes, she really does.
Picture your favorite HR person. That's Wendy. She FaceTimes with Giovanni and says, hey, girl, hey, just so you know, the Johto recruiter there has identified a couple of hopefuls, which turn out to be Jesse, James, and Meowth. Wendy has a very deep-seated grudge against Jesse due to a moment in their past where at the Team Rocket gym, because they have a state-of-the-art gym in there, Jesse took advantage of her. Well, I don't know. We talked about this before. She's like, hey, thanks for paying for my smoothie at the Team Rocket smoothie bar. Love that. Thanks.
I mean, Jessie's the worst, but she's so
confident about it.
So confidently the worst that you can't fault her for it.
I loved that scene.
She's like, yeah, thanks for buying my smoothie for me. All right, peace out.
I'll pay you back. Bye. And Wendy was probably like, who the hell was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know each other really, do they?
It looked like they're like class recruits or something like that. Like, they looked pretty young.
Yeah, this was obviously a flashback, but I mean, could you imagine the balls on somebody? Like, if you're just standing in line, like waiting to pay for like a coffee or something, and some random person that you've never met is like, "Hey, thanks for spotting me $5. I mean, I don't think I would even have the guts to say anything. Like, I would be so flabbergasted that that happened to me. I'd be like,
No. And neither did Wendy. That's why it's so realistic.
But then, like, after the interaction was over, you'd be angry, right? I mean, you'd be like, what?
And Wendy's holding that grudge 5 years later or however long it's been.
Yes, and I love that. I think that's hilarious.
But yeah, definitely realistic for sure. I would be pissed off too. Yeah, Scout is like, you know what? Okay, so we are going to do some scout or some recruit initiation now. And honestly, Giovanni's the best for this. Wendy's like, no, sir, we should not let them back in. They're terrible people. And Giovanni's like, you know what? I'll allow it. I live for this chaos.
Giovanni doesn't care at all. He's like, whatever.
He knows who they are and he allows it anyway.
You think he wants to invite the madness?
I do. I think he lives for the drama. I think he absolutely does. I think he's a secret dad figure. He's like, yes, my children, I'm gonna let you back in Team Rocket.
I think he just doesn't care. I think he's just like, he doesn't care about the bottom line. He's like, I'm just doing my drugs in my dark office.
I know we do quotes later, but I just think it's funny. We're like, although we're cutting back on useless staff, I suppose it is necessary for an evil organization to look for promising evildoers to add to our evil team. So it's basically just like, it's just a body. Like, let's keep adding people.
Ah, that was my quote.
Oh, man.
Guess she'll have to find another one. Christina lives for the chaos just like Giovanni.
I do.
Christina, you're an evil recruit to their evil organization. Organization for evil.
I am. You can always cut it out and I can pretend I didn't say anything.
Oh, no, absolutely not. We don't lie to the people.
You know, it's so funny, Christine, that you bring that up now because I think Giovanni's such full of shit. Like, he's like promising evildoers. I'm like, Jesse and James are the least evildoers in all the land. Like, you're lying and you know it. I think he's a big softy inside, I think.
God, I went in such a different direction. I was not like, oh, Giovanni, he's such a... ooh-woo dad type figure. Oh, he's so nice. And he's not really evil. I'm like, no, Giovanni's high as a kite on cocaine. And he does not care about what's happening around him.
I think both of those things could be true at the same time.
I think that too. Like, I think he's just like, they're just bodies to him. Just like cogs on the machine. So he's like, whatever.
Maybe he's just jealous. He's a jealous type and he doesn't want them to go to any other team. He's like, no.
Although they mentioned two other teams in this episode and I've never heard of them.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, basically, Scout there gives her Delibird to Team Rocket. And she's like, all right, your hazing ritual's begun. Go attack those kids, those passerby who just happen to be walking past. And wouldn't you know it, it's the twerps. Because, of course it is. Because
there's no one else in a 10-mile radius except for the twerps, our Team Rocket, and Scout, and Delibird.
Are they so remote in the wilderness that there's literally nobody else?
I don't see anyone else, do you?
No, but we never do. Either they're really off the beaten path, or there's just never anybody, like, actually doing trainer stuff.
We know they like the scenic route.
They do. Team Rocket confronts the twerps, because they have to as part of their initiation. Misty is like, you know what? If you don't even, like doing this, this is your chance to get out. Like, why are you even trying to rejoin if you don't even want to do this? And so this is where we get the other team. So Christina, go ahead and give us your thoughts on the other potential options.
I don't remember the names, so.
I do.
Oh, good. What are they?
Team Jet and Team Helicopter.
Team Jet and Team Helicopter.
Interesting.
What do you think their shtick is? I'm really curious. Like, what the fuck is that?
Team Helicopter blades away at the speed of a helicopter.
I like that.
And Team Jet, Austin?
Team Jet. Oh, gosh. Jets away at the speed of a jet.
Oh, good.
Now, do they actually show up anywhere in the series? No.
No, never. That never happens.
This is a Jesse thing.
The one and only reference to them.
Team Jet is apparently full up, not accepting any new applications, and Team Helicopter is just a bunch of snobs. So who wants to join them anyway? And yeah, like we mentioned before, James is like, well, Team Rocket's clearly the better option of all of them because we get stock options. Retirement and all that stuff with Team Rocket, so.
They have like 401ks with Team Rocket. Why would you leave?
Which I won't even get into the whole, I don't agree that the health insurance should be tied to your employer, but I digress. So we get into this battle with the twerps, and actually, Team Rocket is kicking some ass at the beginning with Delibird's help. Its signature move is present. I think it's called present, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact mechanics of it. I'm not sure if it's 50-50 or not, or if it's something else, but part of the time it's either going to be like an explosion, a damaging attack, or sometimes it could heal. So they're doing really well until Delibird inadvertently gives them a present that restores Pikachu back to full health, and it very menacingly gives them a look, which was kind of badass for Pikachu.
Oh, I love Pikachu in this moment.
And blast them off. But it doesn't matter because they passed their recruitment test.
They were going to pass no matter what.
Yeah, Giovanni was like, fast track them back into Team Rocket. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. Pass or fail, they're in. So yeah, he's like, you know what? We're going to keep them on. They're going to repay their loan. Delibird is going to act like their loan shark. They have to make installment payments to Delibird every month.
I'm gonna keep track of how many times Delibird appears. So every time Delibird appears, it's been another month.
Do you know if he appears again?
Delibird's going to be here again.
Okay.
For a while, right?
Through the end of Johto.
Okay. So yeah, keep track. Austin, please try to remember. Like, let's try to remember to track his appearances, because they cannot try to pull the wool over our eyes and tell us that no time is passing, because clearly we have something to measure against. It's a monthly visit. So that is it. That's do's and don'ts. Team Rocket's back on the team.
I love this episode, you guys.
That was really fun.
Any other thoughts? We can jump into MVP, LVP quotes.
Let me look through my notes real quick. Oh, one thing you forgot to mention, Alex.
Oh, what did I forget?
Okay, Team Rocket gets an itemized bill of all their charges for their dues. And like under like all the late fees and the late fees for the late fees and the processing fees and the breathing air fees and the Giovanni's bourbon budget fees, at the very end is a charge for one single fruit smoothie.
Oh, right.
That was my favorite part.
Jessie looks it over and is like, I don't even like fruit smoothies. What is that about?
Yeah, she can't possibly remember. She's like scratching her head. She's like, what the hell? Fruit smoothie? We didn't get any fruit smoothies. Do we see Wendy again? Or no?
I don't think so.
Christina, any other final thoughts on this one?
No, I just think it was a good episode. So I think it was funny and it was cute. I like Delibird. He's cute. He reminds me of like a penguin kind of thing.
He's a Santa Claus penguin.
Aw, I love that.
He brings presents.
Yes.
I think having him be a loan shark is a funny twist.
It is.
Yeah, he's not just like a fun like Christmas time Pokemon or anything like that.
He's a goddamn debt collector.
Yeah.
And he'll fuck you up.
He will fuck you up. He does fuck people up. It's true. I will say I love this because this is one of the rare episodes where Austin actually enjoyed it. So.
That is not true. It's not a rare episode. I enjoy episodes when they're good. That's all it is.
And this is a good one, so therefore.
Yes, Johto is back on track, baby.
I know, you keep claiming that we're like in the peak Johto of it all. Like,
we are in the peak Johto of it all.
I mean, I agree. This was a good one. I think the next one's a good one, too. All right, MVP, LVP, quotes.
All right, first is Alex, then is Austin, then is Christina.
My most valuable player this episode was Giovanni, Big Papa himself.
Giovanni!
I love that he let them back in knowing that they're completely ineffectual and just bumbling buffoons, but he loves them anyway.
I really don't think he does.
Just let me have this, Austin.
Okay, just that's your fan fiction.
Let me have this. This is my fan fiction. If we ever write another fan fiction episode, this is going to feature. I'll forget, but I'm going to say that now. My LVP is Dexter. Oh, because this part, I neglected to say in the episode proper, there was a moment, and this will be my quote as well. I'll just do a double thing here. Dexter is a little shit this episode. When Delibird starts attacking the twerps at the first part of it, he says, Delibird, the delivery Pokemon, Delibird's unique attack is giving presents. And so, of course, the twerps are thrilled by this. They're like, oh my gosh, presents. There's this whole long, drawn-out sequence where they are gifted the presents that end up blowing up in their face. And then several seconds later, Dexter chimes in helpfully. He says, however, some of the presents have been known to explode. So I'm like, you little shit, you knew that from the beginning.
All right, is it my turn?
Yep.
Okay, my MVP is going to be Pikachu for his really mean look he gave to Team Rocket and Delibird when he got refreshed, and for his really menacing new thunder animation where he tears through the ground with his attack energy.
Oh yeah, we noticed that. That was different this time.
My LVP, I'm going to give it to Team Helicopter because they're nothing but a bunch of snobs. My quote is going to be James saying, "The twerps team is comprised of three people, while we only have two people." Meow says, "What about me?" And Jesse says, "I'm afraid you're not a people."
I love that line too. He's like, "Oh yeah, I forget I'm not a human."
Sometimes I honestly forget that because he's just Meowth. He's like beyond anything else. Like he's not a human and he's not a Pokemon. It's weird.
He's an institution.
He is an institution.
She is the moment. She is Meowth.
So my MVP is Wendy. I thought that was really hilarious. The fact that, you know, she still took out Jesse. It just reminded me of those like, kind of like those TikTok things that are going like, how do you professionally say? Like, it was a very like funny corporate way of getting back at somebody. My LVP was probably the Scout, because how dare she claim that our Team Rocket is not truly Team Rocket.
Rude.
And then as far as the quote, Austin, I guess this is kind of revenge because you actually took mine.
Oh, Christine and I are warring.
I know, because I really like the fruit one where it's like, I don't get it with that fruit smoothie business. Me either. I don't even like fruit smoothies. Give me a double tall half cafe mocha latte with foam any day.
Are we team fruit smoothie or team coffee mocha?
I like smoothies.
Oh.
Smoothies.
That's so hard. That is so hard. I think I like both, but I think I might pick smoothies.
Yay, Team Jesse all the way. Or I guess Team Wendy.
Yeah, Team Wendy.
Team Wendy. All right, cool deal, you guys. I'm taking the role of Jacob. I say cool deal now.
All right, Christina, are you ready for a 30-second summary? Yeah. 3, 2, 1,
okay,
go!
So the twerps end up going to this Japanese kind of thing. They see a Ninetales. Ninetales takes them back, and they meet a girl named Lococo, The Ninetales talks about how their Lococo talks about how their owner was gone for the hotel or something, and the Ninetales is really sad. Turns out the girl's a ghost.
Time.
I don't know why.
That's all right.
I love this episode, but I struggle with it for sure. I think I have the other one in my head now.
I thought this was a really fun episode as well.
This was a really fun episode.
This was two bangers back to back.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if you ever watched this one. I know last time we discussed it, it gave me Ghost of Maiden's Peak vibes, but in a more serious way.
It was still pretty silly, though.
It had some silly moments, but I think this one was more somber, the right word.
This one, granted, maybe I'm like emotional because I've also been not feeling very good. I actually felt a little emotional when they started talking about certain things. And I'm like, oh, like I just wanted to hug the Ninetales.
This is the episode you requested, Christina, because you said, I want to do a Ninetales episode. And this is the best Ninetales episode by far.
I mean, I don't remember the other ones, but like this one was like really emotional. See, I think I vaguely remember this like when I was younger. Maybe that's why I have such an emotional connection to Ninetales. But I'm like, oh, I just want one. I just want to hold it.
Yeah, definitely a lot of empathy moments to be had. I mean, the implications, of course, are really heartbreaking, but it's just sad. It's a sad tale.
Well, let's get into the tragic tale of Ninetales. Hey, hey.
Ha ha.
The tragic Ninetales.
Very clever.
The twerps are in a fog. They're in a foggy environment on the mountains. And Misty and Brock say, Ash, don't go ahead in the fog. Ash says, it'll be fine. So he immediately falls. Thankfully, he did not fall off a cliff. He fell like 10 feet. But Lococo and her Ninetales appear with their lantern. And they say, well, come with us. We'll take you to our mansion. And they do, and surprise, surprise, there's a giant Japanese mansion estate right there.
This place was, like, awesome.
Yeah, it reminded me of the village in Spirited Away.
Yep, No Face was there.
Yeah, exactly. All the other little demons.
Brock, of course, is completely in love with Lococo, which I know Christina loves.
Ugh, yeah.
Lococo says, you should spend the night here because it's all foggy. You know, business as usual, basically, with the twerps. Meanwhile, something's amiss, though, because Team Rocket have broken in, of course, and they found themselves a giant room full of cookies! Thousands and thousands of cookies that they can eat.
You don't just have a closet full of unwrapped cookies, Austin?
I mean, the bugs would love it, but I wouldn't.
If you were a millionaire, would you have a mansion with a cookie room?
If I was a ghost, I would.
Spoilers.
Lococo is leaving the room, and Misty happens to catch a glimpse of Ninetales in the mirror, but Lococo is not in the mirror's reflection. So she gasps as Ninetales and Lococo glare at Misty, and the mirror shuts itself.
I have a question.
Yes.
I don't know much about, like, real-life Japanese mythology, but I guess Misty's first thought was ghost. Do vampires exist in Japanese mythology? Because this was the first thought I had, just because, like, Western mythology is, like, vampires don't have a reflection.
See, I thought ghosts because of, like, the fog and everything like that, symbolism.
I mean, yes, yeah, but I guess just for a fleeting second, I was like, vampire. Oh.
Wikipedia claims on the Vampire Folklore by Region page, Japan has no native legends about vampires.
That would explain everything. I love how they have a regional folklore page.
I guess it's more of like a European, like Romanian kind of thing that originated from, right?
Yeah.
I will say I found the nine-tailed fox page on Wikipedia.
Ooh.
It's a mythical fox entity originating from Chinese mythology in which foxes are depicted as spirits possessed of magic powers. Ooh. These foxes are often depicted as mischievous, usually tricking other people with the ability to disguise themselves as a beautiful man or woman.
Oh. So that is directly related then.
Yep, this comes from Chinese mythology.
Straight out of real life mythology. That makes sense. Okay.
Misty didn't see Lococo. Brock is an idiot, as usual, and is like, Misty, you just don't understand how beautiful women work.
Because you obviously aren't one.
They didn't make that joke, but clearly we did. Brock is stupid, but he's more stupid than usual. Because Lococo and the Ninetales psychically vacate Ash and Misty from the premises. Because Misty's asking too many questions. And while Ash is on Brock's side at first, he quickly switches over to Misty's side once the reality of it sets in.
Well, he realizes that it's less of Brock's horny proclivities or whatever. It's more he's a little bit bewitched. Yes,
Brock is bewitched in some sort of spell. And Ash and Misty are plucked and thrown out the front door through the air magically.
That's kind of scary, to be honest.
So they spy on Brock and Lococo and Ninetales from the bushes. And Brock magically is now wearing a different outfit, like a more traditional outfit.
Is that an illusion, or did they, like, dress him?
I think it was an illusion.
Him?
I think it's all an
illusion. Oh, I think it was important to note that, like, the Ninetales was, like, super affectionate to Brock from, like, the beginning. And he claims it was because he used to own a Vulpix.
Yeah, actually, I think I think there's an error. I wish that they had said that, because that would have been the truth. But I think Brock messes up. And I don't know if this is a dub error or a Brock is a liar because he wants to impress her more.
Oh yeah, right. Because he had a Ninetales. Never evolved, right? When he had it.
Yeah, and he had to give it back to
Scissor Me Street Susie.
Scissor Me Street Susie. I forgot about her.
So Ninetales is all over Brock. Lococo is also kind of all over Brock, but not touching him. Because Lococo doesn't have a physical form, and if you touch her, you go right through her and fall to the ground. But that doesn't mean she doesn't want to marry Brock, though. Brock is all for this, marrying this ghost woman.
Yeah. Okay, so at this point, we all know that Lococo is like an avatar, some kind of...
She's not real. She's not really there.
Illusion. No, she's not really there. It's Ninetales kind of projecting this imagery or whatever. Obviously, this Ninetales is very intelligent. Like, what is the implication here? Like, does it really understand the concept of marriage? Like, what the heck?
I kind of wondered that, because it's like, is Lococo, like, a human version of the Ninetales? When I first watched the episode, I thought it was maybe the Ninetales created, like, a human because it was so lonely. But now I'm like, Aww. Okay, maybe it's also, like, it's, like, a human form of it. Like, it's projecting itself.
Maybe it's both. Like, it uses Lococo as an avatar. But Lococo also seems to have her own cognition. Like, she seems to be able to act independently of Ninetales sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
That's an interesting point, Christina. Like, I guess I never thought about that before, but maybe it started out as a projection to, like, trick people or whatever, but, you know, over the centuries sort of became its own being, like maybe a little bit of its own sentience acting separately from Ninetales. Like, it got awareness beyond just an illusion. Like, I don't know. That's a really good question.
Team Rocket, meanwhile, has found, like, the Sea of Popcorn hallway. They're having fun. Ash and Misty are also searching through the mansion discreetly because they've snuck back in. And what they find is an ancient Pokeball. The button is on the top, not on the hatch area. Is that what you call it? Where the line is?
Is it like a hinge?
God, what is that called?
Yeah, the hinge. Like, the opposite of the joint. The opposite end of it.
The latch. The opening. Yeah.
Anyway, or the button is on top of the ball. It has, like, a kind of a embroidery design on it.
It kind of looks like a version of the Pokeballs in Legends Arceus. the ball cap thing is on the
top. Is the ball cap thing on the top on the Hisuian Pokeball?
You've played it more recently.
I thought the pattern looked like the white doily that, you know, that people used to use for, like, lace. That's what that kind of looked like on top of it.
Oh, so, okay, yeah, I was wrong. The Hisuian Pokeball is, it looks like a traditional Pokeball. It's got a latch on the front. Which is the one that has the cap on the top? Oh, it was Sammy's Pokeball. Yeah, in the Celebi movie. I was mistaken. My apologies. The Celebi movie.
If you were to lay out the timeline of the Pokeball history, I feel like it'd be really inconsistent with design and, like, yeah, function. But in a way, I'm going to say that makes sense because I think Pokeballs as a mass-manufactured product are only a recent-ish invention. So there's probably a lot of individuation.
Well, we actually, not to derail too far, but the Horizons, like, in current times, the Horizons episode that we just watched featured a girl who makes her own Pokeballs. So there you go. You have a very unique variant on, like, an inventor who makes their own version of Pokeball. So I imagine, like, you're right in that there's a sense of, like, regional differences and, like, even, like, small-time inventors who are like, yeah, I made a Pokeball. This could be custom.
Back in the day, everyone used to have their own Pokeballs. Some people put a doily on it.
It was a cool design. I agree with Christina. It was a super cool design.
I would have a super pretty one for my Pokemon, so I'm not gonna lie.
For your Ninetales?
Yes, yeah. That would be my Ninetales, except I would never abandon it and die.
Well, you would never die?
I would never die.
So we see a picture of what looks like Brock on the wall. It looks like Brock's ancestor somehow. Ash finds his diary and looks at the date and was like, my god, this was from 200 years ago. Surprise, surprise, this entire mansion is an illusion.
Yeah, the frustrating thing about this was the fact that they dance around saying that he died. I mean, obviously, nobody lives for 200 years. Like, I don't understand why they couldn't just say he passed away. They just dance around it like, if this was written 200 years ago, then that means, and then they look at each other, and then gasp. It's like, yeah, you could say he died.
Yeah, they're like, he's no longer on this plane or something like that. Like,
It's very awkwardly phrased.
I think kids can understand, like anybody who's watching this is like, okay, if you're at least 10 years old, then you know what the concept of death is. Like, that's something you learn early on.
But you can't say it on network television for children in 2002.
Apparently not.
Well, Ash realizes that what they're up against is a supernaturally inclined, centuries-old Ninetales. So he's like, I know, I'll use my Totodile against it, because Totodile has a type advantage. So that's the plan, and they attack the Ninetales with Totodile, and Ninetales flips out and starts chasing them through the halls and tries setting everything on fire to kill them. This finally, eventually, breaks Brock out of his, like, fugue state of stupid. He kind of gets an idea of what's going on, and he goes over and he grabs the doily Pokeball, and he says, Ninetales, return! And Ninetales has a brief moment to think about it, then remembers its former master, RIP, and happily goes back into the Pokeball, which subdues it, as the entire mansion is revealed to be, like, a crumbling mess. It's not been attended to for centuries, so it's just dilapidated, disgusting.
This is actually, like, one of the creepiest parts of the whole episode, I think. It's, like, when the glamour falls and, like, you realize where you've actually been standing this whole time is in some sort of, like, abandoned, decrepit building. And it's like, whoa, that's...
That's spooky. That's very Spirited Away, right? I mean, as Christina might point out.
Yes, it also reminds me of... What was it? Was it the Scarlet Witch that was really, like, where she was really in that dead field, but, like, she projected it to make it look really pretty?
Oh, yeah, in the Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, in the Doctor Strange movie. It kind of, like, I guess I've seen this theme elsewhere, but I'm like, it just reminds me of, like, something else, but it's really interesting, because it's, like, just basically, like, a spiritual illusion.
Yeah, I feel like it's a classic, like, you eat the food, the glorious banquet off the table, and then you look down, and it's, like garbage. It's, like, diseased, maggot-infested grossness.
Yeah.
Oh! Speaking of diseased food, I mean, luckily Team Rocket didn't have such a horrible revelation, but what were they eating? Like, leaves the whole time? Which, I think the other time when we had this discussion, we questioned what Ash and Misty and Brock were eating when they first got there, because if you recall...
They were eating leaves!
Probably, because it was, like, a decrepit castle, right?
I would love to know what Ninetales' long-term plan was for keeping Brock alive.
I know.
Feed him leaves, apparently.
Maybe Brock was eating leaves and Ash and Misty were eating, like, Ninetales' shit.
Maybe so.
I imagine that maybe I mean, Ninetales is a predator, right? I mean, would it go out and hunt? Would it, like,
probably
hunt for Brock? And like,
it'd drop, like a Pidgey carcass at Brock's feet and be like, there you go.
Well, he wouldn't know that it was a Pidgey carcass. He would be like, ooh, a delectable chicken leg or something. Like, oh, God, the implications. Oh, okay.
So now that Ninetales is in the Pokeball, Lococo comes out and she's like, oh, finally, I'm freed from that. Whew, now I can tell you what really happened, which is where it's really implied Lococo has taken on her own being at this point, at least to some extent.
This makes the argument for that.
Brock says, let's let Ninetales out as well. So she comes out and she's way calmer now. And we are told the sad story of when her master, Brock the First, I guess, he left the mansion on some unknown errand. And he's supposed to come back, would it say within a month?
It was a month, yes.
A month's time, but he just never returned. So clearly he was dead somewhere, but I guess no one ever found him wherever he was?
And this is the part, like, I agree with Christina, like, this is the part that kind of is the most emotional. This was 200 years ago, right? So this was, like, before modern technology. Like, what do we think happened to him? Like, he, like, fell in a ditch somewhere and, like, died of an illness or, like... or was hurt or something? Like, what?
Yeah, I wonder if he just died of illness or something like that. Because I don't think he would have left his, like, Ninetales like that. So, it's interesting that he didn't take his Pokemon, though, with him.
Where was he going? Was he already sick when he left, or did he go missing?
I feel like my thought was that he was going on either some kind of errand or, like, a small journey or something, or traveling to the next town or whatever. And he's like, all right, I'll be back in a month. And, like, my immediate thought was, like, the, like, beginning of the episode, there was a bunch of cliffs, right? So maybe the implication is, like, he fell to his death somewhere off of a cliff.
And that's why Ninetales is out there looking for people to make sure they don't fall off the cliffs.
Oh, that makes it sad. Like, even more sad.
Like, maybe subconsciously the Ninetales was like, I need to, like, go and make sure nobody's, like, hurt out here or something. Like, not that she, obviously she didn't know, or at least was in extreme denial over the fact. I mean, she... Well, Austin will expound on this, but, like, my feeling, gut feeling was, like, okay, he obviously, like, fell and died, like, somewhere, and just never returned, so.
According to the Ninetales approximation, apparently Ninetales can keep time.
I mean, it's a very sentient person at this point, like.
After 10 years, all the staff left, which tells me that, like slowly left, which indicates to me that they didn't know if he was going to show up or not. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think I could wait for my boss for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, that's I agree with Christine. Like, that right there, it's, like, obviously the staff of this mansion, like, but it's, like, who was paying their salaries the whole time? Like, 10 fucking years is a long time to wait for somebody. I mean, they had to know he was, like, gone. Like, they received no word from him, no nothing. Like, what the hell?
Was it, like, the house manager was like, well, we have the assets, let's keep going for as long as we can.
It had to be, right? I mean, they had to have had, like, set amount of money. You know, their salaries kept getting paid out of, and they just maintained the place. And they're like, well, this is a pretty cushy job. All we have to do is just, like, hang around here, so.
Which is why I think he was missing, because it was kind of operating in a, we don't quite know what's the legal status of this estate.
Yeah, it had to have been something like that. I think when the money dried up, then they were like, fuck it. Gotta go.
And clearly no one purchased this estate because it's fallen to disarray over the last 200 years. And the Ninetales during these centuries did try, this is really important, she did try and leave, but something compelled her to stay on the grounds, which
yes,
is interesting because obviously the idea you get is like, oh, she felt compelled to stay because she was honoring her master and she didn't want to leave his side, or, you know, metaphorically or whatever. But Brock comes in, he's like, it was because she was bound to the Pokeball. The Pokeball made her feel unable to leave its presence.
That's an interesting thought. Does that occur all the time? Like, is it just an inherent feature of a Pokeball, like, itself, that there's a compulsion around it? Or is there something special to this Pokeball? Like, is it because she's a really in-tuned spiritual Pokemon?
That's what I was wondering. Is there, like, a virtual leash that keeps them, like, have we seen Pokemon that have Pokeballs that far away from their master? Like,
I'm struggling to think of anything like that.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, is it an inherent feature of a Pokeball that all Pokemon, regardless, like, even with a modern Pokeball, has that same compulsion.
Maybe so, because I guess you would think, like, other people can't catch an already caught Pokemon, right?
Like, clearly there's something inherent that a Pokemon gets assigned to a particular Pokeball.
Yeah.
But we never see an instance of a Pokemon releasing itself, right? Like, on its own accord, we don't ever see that.
And, like, presumably, if the Ninetales had figured it out, she could have taken that Pokeball with the doily on it and taken it with her to wherever she wanted to go, right?
But I think it's something deeper than that. Obviously, it never occurred to her. I think it's kind of a, like, a fail-safe, right? Because if, like, a Pokemon realized that, for lack of a better term, I don't know. I think it's more of a deep-seated impulsion of, like, it just never occurs to the Pokemon to even, like, consider that.
And it reminds me of just, like, the other tropes and, like, just of, like, ghost movies in general. Like, the spirit is always attached to, like, the house or, like, a specific item. It's that's where their soul is bound to right now.
Right. She's haunting the destroyed estate.
Yeah.
But rest assured, her bounds are released because Team Rocket attacks in that moment for some reason.
Oh, no.
In the chaos, the ancient Pokeball is destroyed pretty easily. So clearly it must have been, like, rotting away.
They knew what they were doing. They're like, that's the item that needs to be destroyed.
No, I don't think Team Rocket knew that.
I know. Of course, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I wanted to play into they're actually the good guys saving the world, one Ninetales at a time.
Well, as always, the twerps have met someone, and Team Rocket's interference has solved the problem.
Yep.
Because the Ninetales Pokeball is destroyed, and now it feels free to go wherever it wants in the world. It can go shit in the woods somewhere else.
Who was cleaning up all that Ninetales shit before? Because
Lococo. Ninetales departs in the morning. Lococo appears for one last vision to thank the twerps and say goodbye. It's all over. Ninetales has achieved its freedom and is no longer the spooky ghost of the mansion.
Yay.
Yeah, I want to get Christina's, like, overall thoughts. Like, the more I think about it, the sadder I am.
I teared up when, like, the Ninetales started talking about, like, how, like, I don't know. Then I start thinking about, like, my dogs and, like, how they feel, like, when I'm gone. Like,
aww.
I'm like, the sadness of, like, not knowing when your favorite person's coming back.
It's such Hachi vibes, right? Like,
is Hachi the one that always went to the train station or whatever?
God, that breaks my heart.
Yes, that movie, that movie teared me up too.
Like, what was it, like, years and years? Because I think the real story is, like, the owner went away to work one day and died when he was at work. So the dog never knew that he died. And it just kept coming back every day and, like, waiting for this man who was never going to come back. Because I don't think they showed the dog. Cause you know how they say, like, animals, like, you show the body, you know, so that they have an understanding of, like, okay, you're passed away.
They say you should, because then the dog will understand, but because it's a different smell, obviously, so.
Yeah, I think they have some level of understanding of, like, okay, this is different. And, like, whatever happened to the owner, too, like, if it is what we said, and he just, like, fell and died somewhere in a ditch, like, I hope it wasn't, like, a long drawn out death. Like, I hope he just, like, hit his head and died. Like, I hope he wasn't, like, injured and starving and, like, just died of exposure somewhere, because that would be, like, terrible.
What are the chances are that he's related to Brock? Because they did look a lot alike. I thought that was interesting.
And look at Brock's dad and Brock's siblings. Those genes are strong.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, we don't get any background on, like, a wife or, like, a fling or anything. I mean, it's possible that in his travels, like, before he, like, fell off a cliff and died, like, maybe he, like, met a girl and had, like, a...
Or he's, like, a great uncle to Brock.
Yeah.
Maybe he had... But then why wouldn't the sibling have come and taken ownership of the estate?
That sounds like a good question for a fan fiction.
Exactly. Go right.
The lineage of Brock.
Yes.
All right. MVP, LVP, and quote, it is Christina, then me, then Alex.
Okay, so MVP is, of course, my precious baby Ninetales, because he could do no wrong. Poor baby just misses its master. And then my LVP would probably be Brock, because he's, again, always trying to get them in trouble with a woman related to a woman. So, as I know my previous episode, I also put him as LVP.
I was wondering what you were going to think of Brock in this episode.
I would say he was less obnoxious than the other ones, but, like, he is part of my favorite quote. It was, like, when Lococo said, "Well, I'd rather not stay alone much longer. Would you consider staying here in this big house with Ninetales and me?" And, like, everyone's like, "What?" And Brock's like, are you suggesting that you and I get married? I was like, that is not exactly what she said, but I thought it was really funny because, like, that's just Brock just jumping to conclusions. And then she's like, if you find me acceptable.
Fucking, what a leap of logic.
I had a feeling she was a ghost, but I'm like, yeah, this is definitely not real, because obviously if they wouldn't just jump into this like this. And we all know Brock's romances never work out, so.
The fact that Ninetales would even, like, agree to this, like, yes, you can marry my ghost avatar.
Well, I think
yes.
She just wanted her master so bad.
My MVP is going to be Misty, because she clocked Lococo having no reflection, and she was like, we're in a ghost story. Misty was on top of things, as always, and she was the one making things happen. She was pointing out the plot. And of course, no one believed her, but Ash eventually joined her side. My LVP is going to be... I will give it to Team Rocket for kind of ruining the pacing near the end there when they attacked.
Yeah, it did kind of feel like out of the blue. And it's like, really?
Yeah, they did not need to do that.
No.
And my quote is going to be a really long one. It's when Misty looks at the mirror... And she says, I keep seeing Lococo without any reflection in that mirror. Brock says, oh, come on. That mirror is just capable of reflecting her vast beauty. That's all. Misty says, and how do you explain the mirror closing on its own? Brock replies, easy. It was embarrassed because it couldn't reflect her beauty.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Doesn't he at one point, like, when they see the thing, like, who is that handsome man on the wall or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Gosh, okay, you know what? Fuck it. My MVP is going to be Team Rocket for the exact opposite reason that Austin said, because I can't think of anything else. They were the ones who ultimately saved the day by destroying the ancient Pokeball. My LVP is going to be Ash. Nobody said Ash, right?
No.
Nope.
Okay, my LVP is going to be Ash, just for lack of other options. And plus, I guess on the one hand, like, he was so careless in the beginning that he just trudged ahead with no regard to his surroundings and fell off a cliff. Could have been much worse. Could have potentially ended up like Brock the First there. So never a good thing to just blindly stumble your way through some fog. And also for the, at least in the first half, when he did not believe Misty about the mirror. And he was like, oh, Misty, you're such a silly goose. Like that, you're wrong. Just go back to eating your leaves. But he warms up. He eventually gets it with the picture. So it's a very light LVP, I will say. Conditional LVP. And then my quote, I didn't write anything down. I only had one. And it's not really great, but it's all I got. At the very end, when Team Rocket's blasting off, James says, I wish we didn't have to blast off on an empty stomach. And Jesse says, we ate leaves.
I know, and didn't Mouth comment like fiber or something like that? He's like, I thought it was filled with fiber.
Something like that. I missed writing that down, I guess, but I feel like that happened. I don't even like salad, to be honest with you.
Ugh, salad's like a homework.
It is like homework. There's a lot of elements that go into a salad, and it's like, more often than not, like, pretty gross. I've only encountered maybe like one or two salads in my life that actually were like, okay, this is decent.
I have to be in the mood for a salad.
Sorry to all those salad lovers out there. So, any final thoughts, guys, on those two episodes?
These were two good ones, for sure.
They were good. I like
I need
them.
To emphasize that, because everyone says I'm such a hater.
You are a hater, but it's okay. It's okay to be the hater. It's okay.
They are really good and really comforting after like a really stressful week being sick and work. So it was very nice to watch and enjoy and talk about.
You can always lean on Pokemon. And it's awesome, Christina, that you were able to join us after all for this. You know, we knew Ninetales was like your one thing you were looking forward to. So we're really glad that you were able to talk about it with us.
Me too.
All right. So what is on tap for next week, Austin?
Next week is A Tyrogue Full of Trouble, which is an episode title I don't understand, but okay.
A Tyrogue Full of Trouble?
And Zatu the Future.
Ooh, yes. If it's the episode I'm thinking of, I adore that episode.
It's the episode you're thinking of.
Excitement! Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's definitely a worth it episode to watch. So if you're going to tune in to anything, make sure you tune into that because it's a good one.
I told you, Johto gets better.
Okay. All right. I believe you. There's some pleasant surprises that have been happening. So that's great. I don't remember the Tyrogue one at all. I have zero.
Oh, that one sucks ass.
Oh, okay. So the Zatu one will make up for it then.
Yep.
this has been great. Christina, thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on as a guest. Hopefully we can have you back sometime soon in the future.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we just want to say to everybody else listening, thank you all for joining us this week. If you want to get in touch with us, we always welcome that. So reach out to us at our Gmail. That is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or hit us up on Twitter or X at @outofdryingpan. Again, that is @outofdryingpan. Check us out on Instagram. That's @outofthedryingpan. I will post our notes that we took in our Pokemon trivia night. Those are absolutely unhinged, so go take a look at that. And support us on Patreon. If you like what we do and want to get some more bonus episode content, funny notes, other things, check us out over there. The link in the description is where you can find that information. And as always, we'd like to say thank you all for listening and join us next week as the journey continues.